whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Hello, Thomas.
Hey,
how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Just had a workout. Bit sweaty, but it's beautiful weather outside, so.
I've been sweaty. That's good. You should be sweaty after this interview, but it's, you know.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay. Bring it on, Thomas. I'm ready. Born ready.
No, you're much too courageous for me. I'm sorry. I have to say that at the very first. You did something I would never do. And when you asked me, you know, we talked shortly before you went to Kiev. And when you asked me and I said, I have swimming lessons or cooking lessons or whatever, and I couldn't come, I'm like, that's how courageous I was, you know, back then. So
so next time you will come?
Let me look at my schedule. Is there a next time? Will there be a next time?
Yeah, there will be a next time.
I think. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, let me know in advance. I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Yeah. Then you can really let it sink in.
We have to start from the very beginning, though. Obviously, we're talking about your new single. It is a very good song, Fool's Parade. Well, for us, it seemed like you really went to Kiev and recorded it there.
Yeah.
But I guess you had the song ready before you went there, right?
Yeah, of course. Otherwise, you can't film it. Yeah, totally.
Well, you know, in my belief, you are so good that you can go there, write a song, record it, and film it at the same time. You know?
Oh, no, that doesn't work like that, no. Not in the short time that I was there. I was only there like 4 days or so. You know, there's limits to everything.
How did you get the idea, first of all, for the song, and then second, obviously, for, you know, going there and doing something with Alex Jamak?
Well, the thing was, of course, we had released the album in October, and we were thinking, okay, we need to write, there's a tour coming up, you know, want to promote that, and let's write a song. And then we thought, like, yeah, what should it be about, you know? And like, we're constantly following the news about Ukraine and Russia, because it's always in our timeline somehow, because we watch so much. It also comes to you through the algorithms in every time you look on your telephone. And we still can't let it go. So we felt like, okay, it's a very crucial time at points in the warfare of Russia and the Ukraine. And we felt like, if we want to do another song, it should be now, because it's like, it's a very win or lose kind of point that they're at this moment. And so we felt like, okay, we still had a song, Fool's Parade, that we had written during Resist, which wasn't finished. That was already called Fool's Parade, because
during
it was
Resist.
During Resist, around Resist.
Okay.
At the time, we didn't feel it fit the album and forgot about the song because it wasn't finished. Weren't happy about the guitars and some other things on the song. And we thought, like, you know, are we going to write a new song for the Ukraine, about the Ukraine, or are we going to use this song as a backup if we lack time? So then we went through a list of Ukrainian artists, and there were 300 more or less on it, from folk to metal to anything classical.
Okay.
And let's see if there's someone. And we had several that we liked, to be honest, and very different ones. But then we came across Alex, and we felt like, okay, but this guy has really a cool voice, something we haven't heard. So deep, and is a nice contrast with mine. Let's contact him and see if he's interested. And he knew the band, luckily for us, and said he grew up a little bit with us.
I'm sorry for that.
Anyway. So he said, yeah, cool. And we said, like, you can write your own middle eight if you want to on it, because we don't have a middle eight on this song yet. And he wrote this really heavy, cool part on it, and it fitted like a glove. And we decided to rearrange our guitars and some other things we had on it, and it became as it is now. So, yeah, somehow, strangely enough, it just worked out the way it did. And I must say, it really, because the song was quite different before, we managed to do this together in a very cool way, to my opinion.
It's funny because I told you about the breakdown at 2 minutes and 40 seconds. I'm like, what the hell is it? I'm like, couldn't it have been a guitar solo?
Unfortunately, I had nothing to do with that. But I wish I had.
But now when you explain it, it makes sense, you know. It's interesting. It's a cool song. We're gonna put it on rotation from next week on.
Thank you.
So you know, I don't know if we can generate any money for, you know, the good cause that this song is all for. But do you want to tell the people what it is about? You know, what are you going to do with the money that you're going to, you know, generate?
Well, all our royalties will go to Ukraine, and that's a humanitarian organization. Besides the fact that they're trying to do to help musicians within the Ukraine to do small concerts for people in the Ukraine, because music, of course, also especially maybe during heavy times like a war, are very essential. So the music they want to support their own musicians, and they also have humanitarian help to help refugees get the things they need when they have lost everything, shelters, and that's what the money goes to. And it felt like something that really connects with what we stand for as we're a band who make music, and they also were looking for ambassadors to keep on shedding a light on the Ukraine and their war and what they're standing for and what they're fighting for, because in daily life, which is very logical, and they themselves also say that we understand that life goes on for you, but we don't have that luxury. This is our reality of day to day, but we can't expect everyone to be focused on that all the time. But it would be nice if some people would maybe, you know, talk about it and reflect a little bit on it. People still know that there's a war going on, and it's getting heavier and heavier by the day.
Just tell us how it was going there. And I mean, you've been there for 4 days, and I saw the video, and you know, you're wearing a red jacket, and obviously I think that, yeah, just, you know, draw some circles on it. It's like a target, you know, that's how you think when you imagine being in the Ukraine. You feel like, I mean, there's part of the country that just have probably a normal life, but then there's a war zone.
Yeah.
It's also
Kiev is on. Yeah, totally. And you're right. The thing is that, daily life in Ukraine, especially not in Ukraine, the daily life in Kiev at the moment that I was there was like 90% was still like normal until there goes an air alert goes off. And then, you know, you have to go to a shelter underneath the ground where the metro station is, where you will be safe. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of strange. You see soldiers, of course, with checkpoints where certain parts of the city you can't come because there's some kind of thing happening over there. And there's like a military, I don't know how to call it, dugout, you know, with nets and everything on touristic parts of the city, because there are military people waiting for if there's an attack that they are, you know, can give some kind of air defense. And those kind of things you don't see in a normal Western, in the Western part of Europe, of course. And then you are realizing every time when that happens, especially with an air alert, you're like, oh my God, this is really a different kind of place. And but when I left, the rockets going towards Kiev were intensified. So now there's way more attacks on Kiev at the moment than there were like when I was there, like only a few weeks ago. And that was also in the week that Putin was being reelected. So probably he wanted to show his muscles and that everyone see I'm back again, I'm full force going forward again. Mm. So, and you know, other things like we crossed the border from Poland we went by night train from Poland to Kiev because there's no commercial flights.
Yeah.
We went across the border and we got tea from a lady who's working on the train, and she gave us tea bags, and they were called War of Drones. That's the name of the tea bag. And I said to her, like, why is this kind of intense, you know? Like, I'm just past the border and I'm getting war drone tea. And I said, well, what is it for? I said, well, you know, a big part of this, which you've just bought the tea, will go donation towards factories who are making these drones that will keep try to keep our army safe, and because they will, yeah, it will help them eventually and defend themselves. So, so everybody is participating in their own way to support their own country and their own army. Mm-hmm. And you talk to people like from the Music Saves Ukraine organization, there's a lot of people have their own stories of people they've lost or friends they have at fighting the war for them. You know, so it's everybody has a story. Everybody knows somebody who died, somebody who's fighting. And I was at a radio station and Radio Rocks, it's called. Yeah, no. You have to support them. Maybe that's a nice, nice way to sell a radio station in a war zone, you know? It's like, and what they did was, there was a, I had an interview with someone from the military. He was an anchorman, a DJ. A few hours a week, and so he was doing the show at that moment, and then he goes off again just after the show we did together. He went off to go to the to fight again or go to his unit again, and he was located in Kiev, but they all have so they had he was allowed because he's a known anchor in Kiev. He was allowed from the army to still do something besides his job as a military. He could be on the radio still, and because it gives also a lot of support to people who are having a difficult time, and radio is really helping them out. Mm. And have like a radio station, especially for people in the army with really music to empower them, like really energetic music that mostly they play. And you see that they do different things with music, and it was really interesting to see. And this radio station, actually Radio Rocks, they were where I was at, they had all these patches of different battalions on the wall behind them. And there were so many. And they asked like people in the army, like, send your badge and we'll send you one from the radio station. So we swapped them and we put them on the wall for you. And every time the camera goes on when he's on the show, you see in the background all these patches, and it gives mm-hmm. you the chills. So many people are listening to that radio station and get energy from it and hope.
Were you ever afraid?
No. No, it wasn't. No, really.
Okay.
No, it was not, you know, I felt because the biggest part I also know is like the biggest part of the war is going on in the East. But like I said, crucial time right now because there are the bombing of the Ukraine has been intensified lately, and they don't have enough air defense systems to defend everything. And so they have to pick, make choices what to defend at what time. And so it's crucial that we start supporting them more and more. And talk about it more and more, because we need to keep people awake, because it's only 2 hours flight from my home country and up in the Netherlands. And you guys are way closer to where all this is happening, you know, and I don't believe Putin will stop at the Ukraine. So, and I think, and not only that, I also, he tries to undermine Europe, you know, he's trying with his propaganda to get people on his side, like Slovenia and Hungary. And it's very important that we keep on talking towards each other, that we don't start believing his propaganda as well. Because even in my country, there's people with even with free press, they start believing his propaganda. And that's really, that's really terrifying, actually.
Mm. I can see from the way you're talking about all this, this must have affected you deeply.
Well, it goes underneath your skin. That's true. Absolutely. Yeah. And and especially when you talk to people, you look in their eyes, you see their sadness, they talk about their friends and family that died and who are fighting. And when you go to the Independence Square where I went on my day off, where there's only flags of people who died, and it goes on endlessly. You won't just imagine the crosses, fields of the Second World War. It's like that, you know, but then in small flags. And that does make an impression, of course. And you know, just hope that that we can wake up a little bit. People that are a bit unaware of how heavy that fight is over there.
Oh yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's so intense hearing all this, and I don't, you know, usually we do fun things when we talk.
Yeah.
This is not happening now. This is just that. At least I guess. I'm sorry.
It is different. Yeah, it's a different. I don't wish for anyone to go there to experience this all, because it's not like a tourist place, you know. But it's more like if you could see what's going on there one-on-one with your own eyes, you start to understand why we need to support them. You know, it's like, well, if you could only remember the Second World War, you know, it's like, or any war that we were, you know, witness of close up, anyone who's still alive, of course, if we could remember the stories, you know, it's like, you know, we need to remember that, and never again, the Third World War is not something we want, but we're very close to it, to my opinion. So it's what we're going to do. And I don't, you know, I'm not advocating war. I do advocate supporting a country that wants to defend themselves.
Yeah. What we could do is, like, I started playing tennis again. So.
Oh, wow.
I'm really bad. But what we can do is I can take you on anytime.
Oh, really?
We do this on a recording. And we get like money for people, for us to watch us.
And we great.
You know, and we give the money to donations. We can do this.
Okay.
I cannot promise you that I'm, you know, going to mow the lawn with you, but my back is already hurting when I just think about it.
Oh, excuses.
But I'll take, reason, I'll take you on anytime.
Hey, Thomas, if you want to do some kind of fundraising with me in Germany when I'm there, yes, let's do that. Maybe let's think of it, something. Maybe somebody who's listening says, okay, if you do that, you know, that could be a good idea. Then, you know, maybe we can ask people what kind of fundraising we should do that's going to be fun for people to watch and do something good at the same time. I love it. I love the idea. It's amazing. I'm in. I'm totally in.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. Yes?
Nice one. I talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.